Come up out some pockets, fellow. We need some. We need some, bro.
You gonna try and rob me, bro?
I ain't robbing you. I'm asking you to come out them pockets. Or I got to rob you. How you wanna do it? Let me know.
Let me know, bro.
Real niggas do real things, bro. Wasn't nothing real about that. I'm done talking. Let me know. Some of you coming out from pockets? You coming out? If you man, coming bro. Out the pockets?
I swear to God,
anyone of them bullets would have hit my people, bro. I'd have killed you, nigga. You hear me? Yeah, I know.
Bro, I ain't got nigga. No way, bro.
What the fuck? Don't touch me, bro. Fucking touch me, nigga. Everything goes, nigga.
All right, so when I last left you hotties, I was on my way to that Irvine Improv Adam show, and I was worried about, remember I was worried about that job thing? Well, I was right. It turned out to be basically be nothing. It was, it was like a political hire kind of thing. It was nothing that I was worried about, so that was fine. Good show, and, good show, good time, had fun, always do, love it down there, Irvine. We get there, for once I got there nice and fucking early. I'm chilling, I almost took a nap, everything's going good. I'm putting my fucking air on. I'm on Lincoln Boulevard here in Venice, and it is loud as fuck. God, why's my car shudders like a fucking old dog taking a shit. I mean, I think my fucking transmission's going. I get down there, and, I help him load in, as I always do. This is the procedure. Mike gets down there with the truck, and we get out all the... There's a big Pelican case full of audio gear. You know, their mics and all the shit for the stage. And there's boxes of Mangria. Now there's boxes of Endless Rant IPA beer. And there's the merch. So we got to take all this shit, bring it, load it in. We get 1 hour before showtime. We've got 1 hour loaded and set up and everything. That place is pretty. It's really like state of the art down there. They redid it, so basically just plug in. We're ready to go because they got a great sound system there. I always forget the sound guy's name, but he's really cool. He's really on top of his shit. So it's always usually pretty easy. So like I said on that episode, I was hungover and a little out of it. But by the time it was showtime, I was fucking wired. I was ready to go. I think it had like just worn off. It was perfect timing. And I bring in two boxes of Mangria over by where we always hang out in there. And when I go to set it down, my shorts rip. They rip from my passenger side leg of my shorts, right from the bottom of the thing all the way up to the fucking belt loops. Totally ripped. And I had no boxers on. So my dick and balls were hanging out. Oh, yes. The only way this could have got worse is if my ass ripped. Too, and my ass cheek was hanging out, and or I was on stage when it happened. That's the only way, because I get up there to test his mics. I just go, hey, yeah, mic one, two, check, hey, check, and then he does a thing with his finger, like the keep going motion, and I got to do that for about 7 minutes. Now, luckily, there's other guys there's other guys there to do it. Sometimes I go, whatever, but it was no big deal if I didn't have to do it, so I'm like, I just look down, and I swear to you, I look down and just see my dick and balls hanging out. I'm like, whoa. It was some Lenny Kravitz shit. I mean, it was the worst pants rip of my life. And I know what you're saying, Luke, I thought you always kept an extra pair of pants and shorts in your car because you used to be a PA, you used to be a grip on reality TV and stuff like that. You got a full, you got an outfit for every bit of weather. You got boots, you got a full rain slicker. You're prepared for anything. Yep, I was. Guess what? I had a pair of pants in my trunk for probably 4 years. You know when I took them out? About fucking 3 weeks ago. Those fucking pants sat in my goddamn trunk, and I had nothing. No shorts, no nothing. I'm like, wow, I'm in big trouble. So I'm walking down. I have just enough room to pull my shirt down over my dick and balls. Dude, these fucking shorts, they were like 6 months old. The things are like brand new. And I'm walking down the thing, pulling my fucking shirt down, trying to kind of hold my shorts closed. And I fucking, and Nick walks by, he's like, you all right, what's going on? I go, dude, I just fucking ripped my shorts, like all the way up, like my dick and balls and everything. I got no boxers on. He starts laughing his ass off. He's like, what are you going to do? I'm like, luckily there's a fucking little plaza right next to this Irvine Improv. So I go over to, I'm like, I gotta get a new pair of shorts. So I hustle over to, now they're setting up. They fucking need me. This is like the, this besides the load in and the load out, it's my time for the fucking Luxor to shine. This is it. You know, this is what I drove here for. I'm like, I can't fucking believe this, you know? So I go over to Target, and I'm trying to figure out how to even get out of my car. I'm like, I can't even stick my fucking leg out the door because everyone's going to fucking... I'm like naked. Everyone can, this is like a fucking dream when you go to high school naked. Everyone's going to see my fucking junk if I do. So I'm trying to figure... It seriously takes me like 5 minutes to get out of my car. Well, this lady's dog's going fucking bananas. I just had to stop. That lady's dog won't try to go after a guy in a fucking motorcycle. God, the street's congested. I had to wait till there was no other cars or anything around. I'm like, this, I'm just laughing the whole time. Like, I can't, this is so fucking ridiculous. I can't, who, oh, when does this happen in real life? I get out, and so I gotta do this really weird walk. But I have to, the shirt, this Corolla shirt they gave me, an extra large is way too big. And a large is just big enough, so I don't have a lot of real estate to pull this thing down and cover up my shit. So I'm really pulling, I look like a fucking complete wacko. I get in the store. Sure enough, the men's section is at the farthest fucking side of the store from the entrance, like all the way in the back fucking right corner of the entire place. Never fucking fails, right? I'm like, God damn it. So I gotta like do this creep walk all the way across the place. I'm like, please God, have some fucking decent shorts. Luckily they had camouflage dickies that actually were kind of cool. I go into the dressing room, I put them on, I have to wear these out of the fucking store. So I walk out of the dressing room with the shorts on, with my ripped pair of shorts, and I go to the fucking the register, and it's like this young like fucking, I don't know, he looked like a kind of a stoner dude, he's probably like 21. I'm like, and he's like, yeah. I'm like, can you just, and I pull the shirt up, and I just fucking like turn my hip where the fucking barcode is, and goes, can you just scan these right on me, dude? Because look, these shorts ripped. I gotta wear these right out. He was like, whoa, dude, that really sucks, dude. I was like, yeah, it's horrible. He's like, well, how long did you have to walk around like that? I was like, fucking 10 minutes, but it was a long 10, so just fucking scan me out. Let's go. So I get it all done, and fucking, Dawson does his fucking laugh, like when he laughs at Adam during the live show, where like, because usually he's got like a dip in, so it's like, it's his lips pursed closed really hard, and him breathing out of his nose, but you can see on his face that he's laughing, and he does this like slow clap thing with his hands. He like claps his hands like, that was a good one. But see, that does that to me, I'm like, yeah, great, fucking, I had to show everybody my shorts. So I talked to Gary, and he's like, dude, trust me, he's like, you're the highest on the employee list. He's like, the minute it's up to me to hire somebody, we're going to you. He goes, fucking, no one forgot about you. He goes, and to make it even weirder, the guy that hosts the CarCast podcast in there, I guess his son looks, Gary said he looks fucking stunningly like me. And half of the fucking time, whenever the guy's at the studio, his son is there, they think it's me. And this guy, and he keeps going, who the hell is Luke? And they're like, you look just like this fucking dude that works for us sometimes. He's just like, we talk about you all the time. Like, you're always, even when you're not around, we still like see you. It's fucking weird. I was like, I gotta see this dude. But yeah, so it was cool. I was supposed to work for, I was trying to get on, because that was Thursday. And I told him, I'm like, dude, I'll come in Sundays, man. Let me come in Sundays, man. I'm like, I'll fucking come in and hang out and learn shit. So I'm a step ahead. So when the books open, you just throw me right in and I won't be like a total noob, but I'll kind of know the procedures and shit. He's like, yeah, all right. He goes, I'll give you my email. Send me an email before Sunday. So I sent him one on Saturday. Got nothing back from him. I'm like, shit. So he fucking just wrote me back today. Today's Wednesday. He's like, oh, sorry, man. He's like, Sunday wasn't good. Dark this weekend. So I wrote him back, and I was like, dude, I can come in Monday. I don't, you know, I'm around any fucking time you need, man. Anytime after 6, weekends, whatever. I'm your fucking man. Come on, I just want to come fucking learn shit. And he's like, well, he goes, I would say yes, but I'm telling you, Monday, Adam's going to be in a shit mood because it's Memorial Day. And I was like, oh, okay, gotcha. So, like, you know, I don't want to fucking, like, press it, but I'm just like, I hope he knows, like, I'm not trying to come and hang out and watch the show. I want to like, fucking help and, like, learn stuff. I don't know. But, yeah, so, you know, whatever. Still slowly chipping away at that one. God, I want to fucking work at that place. Thirsty already. The cool thing was, I took my fucking boss. I took his 5D Mark III Canon camera, $3,500 camera, $1,200 lens. And I've been wanting to shoot on this thing forever. I've been telling myself, Luke, you know, you got this nice camera. You love taking still shots of production things with the camera phone, which takes pretty nice pictures. But this thing takes even better pictures. Why don't you learn how to shoot? And then you can adjust the aperture and the focus and take really professional looking pictures. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna finally fuck this. So I spent all day fucking around with it. And I took it and they're like, yeah, man, go anywhere you want. Gary goes, if they give you any shit, you tell them to come to me. That was fucking great. I was like, sweet. So I'm just, took like 50 fucking stills. I was fucking awesome. I loved it. I'm like, I want one of these cameras so fucking bad. So I wanted to just like, I love shooting stills and shit. Especially like live events and shit going on. I love it. I really wanted to take it to the open mic last night, but I didn't. Actually, I'm kind of glad I didn't. I'll come back to that in a minute. I bet you're really fucking riveted. But yeah, it bummed me out that the episode picture they used was like this blurry piece of shit. I'm like, I dumped the pictures on Gary's computer before the end of the night. I'm like, I got a handful of real fucking really good shots for not really knowing what the fuck I'm doing. I mean, it's not like it's any kind of real fucking achievement. The thing's already lit. I'm not really, you know, breaking down any walls here. I'm not Ansel Adams and shit. More like Asshole Adams. But yeah, they didn't use some shitty picture. I was like, what the fuck, guys? Whatever. What do I know? So that happened. And then I was talking about Argus Hamilton and that book, I'm Dying Up Here, last time, about the Comedians Comedy Store. Comedians Comedy Store, place I work, there all the time, there every week. Why don't you come see me, 2665 Sunset, Los Angeles. If you're on tour, you want to laugh, you want to see some comedians, come see me, Kirk Fox. You know, I'm up there, you know, most nights of the week working out shit, telling funny jokes. I'll come back, say hi. You know, maybe we'll have a beer together, and I'll put one in my pocket and leave with it, you know? Leave you by yourself drinking. I go to meet old Argus, literally, on Friday night. A couple people were supposed to come with me and then decided not to at the last minute, which really fucking pissed me off because I didn't want... It was fucking important to me, and I didn't want to sit there by myself. That's exactly what I didn't want. I could have made other arrangements for someone else to fucking come, because I didn't want to be sitting there like a weirdo when the guy saw me. And I'm nervous talking to I just am. I'm nervous talking to comics anyway, so I wanted someone there to fucking, to talk to, and so I didn't feel like a fucking just lone creep. But anyways, I ended up going by there by myself, which is what I did not want to do. And I'm waiting around in the front patio, having a couple drinks. $11 at that place for a Jack and Coke that is in a glass. It's in the size of like a basic little rock. $11. That place is, Jesus Christ, man. So you got that patio out front, which is it's a great little spot to hang out. But it's where I know it's where all the comics pull up to get their cars parked. So I'm sitting up there, and then I'm sitting there a good fucking 45 minutes and shit. He pulls up. He's got a really nice fucking car, man. It's like a black, was it a Rolls Royce? I don't know. It was a really nice car, like a brand new, I don't know what model it is. It's like real boxy looking, but it's like old. It's like an old style car, but like the new version of it, kind of like what they did with those Challengers. But I don't know. I'm bad with cars. But I was like, damn, that dude's got a nice car. So he gets out. I forgot because I've seen him walk into there before, and he's got this whole like armful of fucking papers and notepads and shit like that, legal pads, business papers, business papers, and he's getting that shit out of his car. So I go over to the side of the patio thing where the driveway is, where I told you Steve Lubeckin splattered that comic from the fucking book, ironically enough. I'm like, hey Argus, man, it's me. I remember I emailed you about the about interviewing you for just about the I'm Dying Up Here book. I didn't stutter and stammer like this when I talked to him. It was very, you know, I spoke a little bit more clearly, for fuck's sakes, because you're probably like, look, no, but he's like, oh, you know, I can't do it now. I can't do it now. And the second he said it, all I could think was, oh, my God, because he's about to go up. It's like fucking, 9:45, and he goes up at 10? And I'm thinking, like, as a comic myself, as a fellow performer, I'm like, well, this guy's such a pro. He's probably one of these dudes that you could talk to until the second they call him onto the stage, and you could just break off and walk up. But, like, I think he was nervous to go on. Like, still to this fucking day, the guy's been doing it 30 years, up every, he's at this fucking store, I think, just about every single week, a couple nights a week, and he's still, and I was like, and it's like such a, it's like a cardinal sin, at least to me, that you don't, that I don't like talking, especially right before they're going to go on. Like, right before they're going to go on, like, I hate talking to comics or bugging them before they get on stage. One time I saw, along the same lines, that happened 2 years ago when I was going to see Bill Burr at that little coffee shop. And he's outside, like, there's a comic up, and Bill's getting ready to go up. Like, he would just pop in, now it's closed. It was the one that Damone from Fast Times used to own. And Bill would just fucking pop in there and just do fucking 20 minutes, you know, for free. For free! And he's outside kind of like pacing around because it was so fucking, it was a little chop. So he would announce it on Twitter a few hours before. So then the place would be mobbed. There'd be like fucking 200 people there. And you could probably fit 20 people in this fucking place comfortably. It had a little stage cramped in the back. It was some real New York City shit. But there was somebody who was on stage. Oh, who's that guy? It was fucking, oh shit. One of the guys he always mentions, was it Verzi? One of those fucking sports guys he's always talking about. One of those dudes. He's outside pacing around, and this dude just starts talking to him. And you can just tell because Bill's giving him real I was just watching him, and Bill's giving him real short answers. He's like, yeah, yeah. He's like, hey, man, what do you think about the 49ers game today? He's like, yeah, yeah, got their ass kicked, huh? And he just kind of kept pacing around. And the guy just wouldn't take a hit. And Bill goes, listen, man, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm getting ready to go up, and I got to get my thoughts together. So, like, I can't really talk right now. And I was like, oh, man, I fucking never want to be that guy. So I realized after my first fucking sentence out of my mouth to Argus, I'm like, fuck, I'm that guy right now. He's like, well, I can't do it now. He's like, I'm getting ready to go up, and I don't have time tonight. I'm like, no, I know, man. I just was going to come say hi face to face. You said in the email to stop by some night this week, and maybe we'd hammer out a date that we can actually do the thing. And he's like, I don't have my schedule in front of me. He's like, June, I don't know how my June's looking. And he starts like fucking getting all like worked up and shit. And I'm like, dude, it's okay, man. We can do it whenever. It's just an hour. We can do it anywhere. I can come to you. I'm like, there's no pressure. Whenever you got a hole in your schedule, don't worry about it. He's like, yeah. I'll check when I get. You gonna be here all night? Well, how long are you gonna be here? I'm like, I just came to fucking say hi to you. I don't even have tickets. I'm like, it's totally fine. I can email you tomorrow. We can work out the details. He's like, yeah, maybe do that. You know, he's like, you know what? Add me on Facebook. Send me a message on Facebook. That's the best way to do it. So again, I definitely can't tonight. I'm like, no, I can't either. I don't have the fucking audio gear with me. And he's like, yeah, yeah, all right, well, that'd be cool. We'll sit down and talk about it. It's a good story. I'm like, yeah, it's a great book, man. I'm like, it's so funny. It's weird sitting here now after reading that book and knowing that history and seeing the pictures of it happen. And I'm just like, it's a fucking weirdly historic to sit here. And he's like, yeah. And then he said, oh, what did I say? I was like, yeah, man, I can't wait to hear your side of it. He's like, oh, yeah, you got to hear my side of it. And he goes to get back in his car. And he's like, I'll tell you what, you know what those son of a bitches did? He's like, the CFI, AFO, they told us that we wouldn't be able to work again. And then he, like, starts going into it. He's getting worked up talking. Like, he's still fucking pissed about this. He's still, this was, like, 1978. And he's still worked up about it. And he started going into it. He was getting heated. He's like, yeah, they told us we would never work again. And we said, bullshit. That's bullshit. He's like, you're not gonna hold us down. And I was like, yeah, man, fucking A. I was like, I can't wait to talk about it. He's like, yeah. He's like, well, get in touch with me. And then he, like, walked off. It was a fucking weird little exchange. I'm like, oh, dude, this guy's, he did a lot of coke and a lot of partying. I think not like a fried his brain or something, but I think that fucking part of his personality is still in there. Personality, media, personal. Hang on, my mouth's trying to get another drink.
That's right, get a fucking drink. I'm the real fucking star of the show. I'm the fucking one they want to hear, not your fucking voice. You fucking cunt.
What'd you say, motherfucker?
I said you fucking suck. The people fucking like you. I'm the new fucking favorite character. I should have my own fucking show.
All right, you want your own fucking here? Take the mic, motherfucker. Take it.
Take the fucking mic. Or what?
What, you don't want it? What's up?
I'm fucking shy.
You what?
I'm fucking shy, all right? I don't want to fucking talk in the fucking mic.
So you just want to fucking sit back there and heckle me while I take a drink, right, cocksucker? Fucking asshole.
Fuck you, fucking cunt. Drink your fucking water. That's right. Do your fucking show. Fucking cunt.
Yeah, okay. Now he's just sitting back there with his arms all folded, looking out the window. He's all pissed off. He wants to fucking sit back there and heckle me and shit. Anyways. That was a bit. You heard that clip at the beginning, right? The other dude that I work with. It's been a slow week. I did fucking nothing. Dude, I did nothing today. It was fucking amazing. I went to go. This is what happens at work all the time. Because I work, as you know from this show, and my extreme goddamn anxiety and stress and tension that fucking pours out of me like a fucking Hoover Dam breaking is due to all this traffic. So because my work is on the other side of town and all these guys live on the other side of town, nobody wants to drive over to the valley. I live in the valley, and I happen to live right in this like fucking like rental hub center where most of the shit that we need is like right by my place. So, and most of them don't open until like fucking 8:30 or 9 o'clock, which is great. So I don't even have to get up. I wake up around 7:30, like naturally. And so it's nice. I fucking fall asleep at midnight, and I wake up with like no alarm. And I feel fucking great in the morning. It's awesome. So they want me to stop on the way in. Man, this mic better, huh? I got to stop on the way in and pick shit up all the time. So I went to go grab something today that's in like deep Burbank on San Fernando Road in this like industrial area. It's kind of a shitty area. In fact, it's not that far from Adam's Studios. But where was I going with this? I went to go pick it up and... Oh, yeah. So I'm taking service streets to get there and the fucking... I don't know why I thought maybe I kind of knew where it was, but I wasn't exactly sure, and I knew I was kind of getting close, but my fucking maps was trying to take me onto the 5 freeway over there by where Flappers is and shit, the downtown Burbank area. I start going down the on-ramp, and I was just like, what have I done? What have I done? I tell you what, the 10 which I'm sitting on right now, and I'm purposely taking so that I can waste time and do the show, or make my commute longer so I have more time to entertain you, not... that 5 freeway over there is in the morning is I've never seen anything like it. I mean, there was just cars merging and it looked like a fucking, like a zombie apocalypse and everyone just got out of their car and ran. There was like cars like everywhere. There was like, they were just all crooked and like trying to merge in other lanes, but not moving. So it was just like a fucking car mosh pit. And I was like, fuck, this was a mistake. So I'm like, first exit, I'm getting the hell off. Cause I wasn't that far from the place anyway. I could just take surface streets. And it took me like, I'm telling you, it took me like 15 fucking minutes. It was like a mile and a half to the next exit. It took me like 15 minutes to go. It was like, I've never seen any morning traffic that bad ever. I don't know if there was an accident or something, but like, I'm like, I am getting the fuck off here and I will never take this freeway again, ever. Like, there'll be another way around. Cause like, wow, was that a fucking mess. But like, so that like delayed the shit out of me, but I picked this thing up. And by the time I got to work, it was like 11:30. And then there was just, like, there's just been nothing going on. And, like, we just sit around all fucking day. Especially, like, when the bosses, the real bosses are around. My fucking boss, when they're out of town. And, like, I just started fucking writing another screenplay. I fucking got paid just to sit around and basically write a screenplay all day. It was amazing. But the other dude I work with, all I hear, if he's not watching Fox News, all I hear in the other room, was he's watching his computer, he's like, ha-ha! Oh, man. Oh, Luke, come here. And I'm like, what's up? He's like, watch this. And he just watches like World Star. He watches World Star Hip Hop. And he loves YouTube videos of people getting hurt, people getting in fights, people getting hit by cars, crazy accidents. I don't know what this is. He loves this shit. It's fucking all he watches. So Monday? Yeah, Monday we were all just like bored and sitting around in his office. And we were watching a bunch of them, and there's one, you heard the clip from the beginning, and this dude is just like standing in his fucking drive, it's like in the hood, and there's this kind of chubby black dude, and he's getting fucking, he's getting like robbed by this dude that looks like Talib Kweli, he's a short little jack black dude, and he's like, "Empty your pockets, nigga, what you got, nigga?" He's like, "Give me that weed." And he's like, "I ain't got no weed." And he goes to put his hands by, he's like, "Don't touch me, nigga." And he was gonna like, this dude is all in his face. And the guy's just like, you hear him, he's like, "What, are you trying to rob me, cuz?" He's like, "I'm going to rob you, nigga, give me everything you got." And the dude it was just him, but like the dude holding the camera was like this fucking, like this big guy. And he was like, what's his name, Winston from fucking Jackie Brown. Who that? That's Winston. What'd he do? He finds people that don't want to be found. And he's like, "I ain't even got no gun, I got nothing but these fists on me, son." He's like, I'll rob you, I don't even use a gun, you a bitch ass nigga. And like this fucking poor guy, he's like, "Everything must go, everything, empty those pockets." So he takes all of his money, takes the guy's fucking whole wallet and everything. And then he starts like threatening him more. He's like, "If you even fucking like, if you come ask about me." And he's like putting like an invisible gun to his fucking face. And like, I'm like, what a fucking piece of shit. What a fucking scumbag. Why isn't the fucking Punisher real? Marvel fans, I invented the Punisher because I used to sit around the Marvel offices and watch YouTube videos of people getting robbed. And I said, there needs to be a character with an extra power. that goes and meets out justice without having to call the police and John Q. Law, and he can just go in and shoot scumbags like this that rob people and don't work for a living and take property of other people. I thought that'd be funnier. I didn't know where I was going with it. Sorry. Stan's hard to do sometimes. I felt so bad for this guy. I'm like, what the fuck? The dude was just, literally just standing outside of his house. I don't know if they had some, like previous fucking relationship or what, but he's like, you come asking for me, I'll blast you, nigga. And the guy's just, like, standing there and, like, just trying to get his ass kicked. And then he keeps, like, doing that thing, like, what? Like, he's going to punch him and, like, cocking his fist. It's like, what a fucking ass. And then it was just, like, so depressing. I'm like, God, it must fucking just suck living in the hood and, like, shit neighborhoods like that. God damn it. Just trying to fucking live your life. And then there's another one where there's a whole fucking channel of just, well, this, I mean, most of these, sorry, it's black people and most of them are in the hood. But there's one called, there's an entire, it's like 25 minutes long of clips of people fighting in Walmart. Most of these are white people. We got that market cornered. You know something else? What was it? Fuck, I was thinking about this the other day. Not blacks, not that there's no black serial killers. It's what a white, something else weird white people have the market cornered on. School shootings? I don't know. I forget. It was some kind of social observation. Oh, yeah, you know what another one is? I'll touch back on this in a second later on, but like, white people, no, it's not white people. You don't they don't really have serial killers anymore. You don't really hear about them. Now it's all school shootings. It's what they call spree killings, where someone just shows up in a thing, and then they usually end up blowing themselves away. But has anyone noticed? We don't really have serial killers anymore, do we? Or are they just not making the news or what? I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, when's the last time we had like a fucking, like Richard Ramirez or some shit like that, where everyone was just fucking terrified, you know? I think the last one we had was fucking, what, Lee Boyd Malvo in 2001? I don't know, maybe I'm missing a couple, but I didn't, I meant to like look into that further this week because that popped in my head the other night as I was going to sleep and I forgot to check on it, so I might be completely wrong. And maybe there is, and I'm a glaring example that I'm missing and sound like a real fucking asshole now. Like, you stupid motherfucker. Like, it's always a white guy with three names. Like, you don't know fucking John Lee Hooker? He fucking shot out. Like, it's always a three-name thing. You ever notice that? But somebody said, well, I think it was Jim Anone once, said the reason they do that is because sometimes they're fairly common names and they don't want regular people, if they happen to have the same name, to be, you know, to have people say their name and think of a fucking serial killer or some shit like that. So they throw the middle name in there to distinguish them. I don't know if that's true. It's a good fucking theory. Who knows? I'm going to see Jimmy tomorrow night, actually. Jim Norton, Novo Theater, Grammy Museum tomorrow. I'm really excited. I haven't seen Jimmy in years. God, I'm fucking thirsty in this episode. I'm not saying a fucking word. I'm not saying a fucking thing. Good, don't. Don't, you pussy. What are you gonna call your show? The angry fucking thirsty British guy hour?
Oh, fuck yourself, you fucking cunt.
He's fucking pissed now. Don't fucking spit on my window. Fucking crooked limey tooth motherfucker. So the Walmart one, there's like a, this one was like, just, I was just like, I have no faith in humanity. There's two big fat, they all start the same thing. It's like, yeah, bitch, it's mostly women fighting too. She's like, yeah, come on, bitch. And these two big fat women get up and they're fighting. This fight goes on, I swear to you, for like 5 fucking minutes. And they're hammering the shit out of it. It's not just some hair pulling and slapping. Like, she'd get the girl in a headlock and just fucking punch her, like Jake LaMotta, her fucking face. For like, punch her like a good 10 times. The whole time her goddamn kid is there. The fucking kid is there in the aisle watching this. Kid's like 5 years old. And she's like, at one point, the adversary, I guess that doesn't make sense. They're both there. There's no protagonist and antagonist. They're just two idiots fighting. The one lady has the other one in the headlock, and she's like, don't stand there, punch her in the face. And the fucking little kid comes up and starts punching the lady in the face. I was like, oh my God. And I was like, that fucking poor kid. Jesus Christ, kid's like 5 years old. Not only is this like, he went through this, it's on fucking video. How fucking embarrassing. Oh my God, get your fucking kid in there. And then every time she'd be on top of the other brother, the kid would come up and start pulling the fucking lady's hair. And of course, the jackass just standing there filming. He's like, this going on right now, Walmart, y'all. Can you believe this shit? And there's like, no security, no nothing. I'm like, how long is this fucking fight? It was like the fight in fucking They Live. That's how long it went on for. It's ridiculous. They're like trashing the aisle and shit. I'm like, this is absurd. This is absurd. Do you know what absurd means? Saturday night, I was going to Uber.
Uber!
But my buddy, I don't know if I ever talked about Stryker on this show. I think I might have some new
listeners.
So, hi, if you're new, hi. Sorry. I got this buddy, Stryker. I grew up with this guy. Very eccentric man. Very, very odd bird. He lives out here with me now, and I see this fellow only a couple times a year. But he really wanted to hang out Saturday, and I was like, all right, let's go. So we ended up, we were supposed to go to Hermosa, and that fell through. So we ended up doing this, like, valley bar crawl, which are always fun. And you know what? I haven't, for some reason, he's always a prime culprit of these. I'm good for, like, one of these a year-ish. Used to be more, but now I'm getting old and tired. I don't give a shit. But it wasn't really planned. It just kind of happened. So we started at this place called the Tonga Hut by my house. It's on Victory and Coldwater, right? Kind of a, it's a fairly well-known place because it's one of those places that has, like, a real regular fucking crowd. And they have, like, all these awesome, crazy, like it's like a tiki bar thing. And they have all these crazy, like, custom drinks that are fucking awesome. And, like, it's super dark. It's a pretty small place. It's, like, one just kind of big room. Well, I guess most bars are. That was a pretty stupid description. But it's got a couple couches and a couple. It's pretty small. It's not a giant place. And it's dark and it's, like, got, like, fake, just, like, palm trees. And I think, am I imagining that? I don't know. It's got, like, the, over the bar, it's got, like, the shingle. It looks like a little, like a, if you were in Hawaii and you went to the beach, one of those little stands. Like, they made it look like this inside. And it fucking stinks in this place. It smells like an old slipper. And the bathroom smells like a fucking New York City subway. I swear to God. It's like, whoa, when you walk in there. I hope John Taffer never fucking wanders in there. But I got this drink called the Old School Zombie. It was $14, but it's fucking huge. And there's like umbrellas and shit. I love fucking faggy shit. I like umbrellas and fruit. I like a big production in my glass, you know. I want my drink to be fabulous. Fabulous! And it's like four different kinds. What is it? Four different kinds of rum. It's strong. It's good. It's got like mango in it. It's fucking delicious. But goddamn, is that fucker strong. I was like, holy shit. So I drank that. And Stryker's, he's having a beer. You're going to have a fucking beer! Stryker's having a couple of beers. Stryker does not drink very much. He's a pothead. And he's a fucking lightweight. God, dude, two beers and he's like drunk. I swear to God. He's the definition of a two-beer queer. And we're sitting there talking. And the bartender, he looks so much like Casey Semesco. I seriously thought maybe it was him, but he looked too young. I'm like, God damn, he looks like him, talks like him. Casey Semesco is, he was a hit in the 80s for a little while. He was in one of my favorite movies, one of the best movies of the 80s, one of the most underrated movies of the 80s, 3 o'clock High with Buddy Ravel and the Brass Knuckles. And he was also in Young Guns for like a minute, I think. No, did he make it to the end? He was in Young Guns, a couple other movies. And I thought it was him. It wasn't him. That was a total non-point. But somehow when we start talking about Avengers, Captain America 3, which is really Avengers 2.5, as I stated recently. And I don't know what the fuck. Like, this is early. It's like 7:30, 8 o'clock. And there was like just a bunch of just like old, like middle, like my age to like older dudes in the bar. There'd be maybe like 15 people in the whole place. And there's a bunch of people sitting around the bar. And, like, the whole fucking place, I don't know how this escalated, but the whole fucking bar got in on this goddamn Captain America. Everyone's arguing about it, throwing in their opinions, going on, like, these long-winded fucking dissertations about, there was a couple, like, hardcore nerds that were, like, super Captain America nerds, like, knew, like, read the comic, like, religiously and knew everything about it and all the characters and shit. And, like, no, you don't understand, man, it was fucking Baron Zemo, and, like, they're getting into it. But then, like, Stryker's just, like, it wasn't like assholes arguing. It was conversation. You know what I mean? It wasn't like adversarial. Everyone was politely discussing it. But whenever there was a hole in the conversation, Stryker would just jump in, and he hates the most like he hates every fucking movie ever, but it's like his reasons for hating are so fucking bizarre and weird. And I don't know if he's saying it to try to sound like smart or like, I don't know, guy with different opinion guy. He'd be like, yeah, but you know, in fucking Captain America's shield, like, it's fucking painted with, like, circular bars. It's just fucking stupid. Like, fuck that shield. Fuck, like, that movie fucking, it's so dumb. Like, why the fuck would they do that? We're just like, what? I mean, that's not literally what he said, but, like, with shit like that, it was so, yeah, but Captain America's boots, like, it's the fucking, like, red boots. It's fucking stupid. Fuck that movie. Just like, what? what the fuck? Like, every time he'd say it, it would just, like, it would, like, suck all the wind out of the conversation. We'd be like, okay, anyway. Then we go out, like a bunch of fucking cool fucking dudes that are going to get some serious pussy that night, discussing the finer talks, the finer points of Hawkeye or whatever the fuck, you know, all this kind of shit. Talking about Marvel characters. Marvel fans, nice to hear a bunch of fat losers sitting around a bar at 7 o'clock in the entertainment capital of the world where there's all kinds of pussy out in the streets getting drunk and looking for cock. And you fags are sitting around in a bar talking about Captain America. You should be ashamed of yourselves. I am, Stan.
Sean, come here, fucking faggot.
This guy's really up my fucking ass this episode. I got Stan after me. I got fucking angry, thirsty British guy after me. At least I'm still friends with you. It's all right. Thanks, Kirk. Thanks. So that was fucking funny. It was like a 40 minute goddamn Captain America. God, I hate I can't do Colin Quinn. It's like a 40 minute Captain America fucking discussion. Hang on, now I gotta sneeze. Fuck, I can't. Hang on. I gotta fucking sneeze. Do I have what? I should have angry Irish sneeze guy.
Oh, that's right, laddie. Oh, you fucking pussy. You have your fucking allergies, don't you? You're gonna have to sneeze. A real man can fucking sneeze whenever he wants.
Great, now I got a fucking Irishman, Englishman, and a fucking... Oh, boy, it's like a fucking clown car thing. All right, enough of this. With these imaginary characters, all right, fucking asshole. Did anything else happen at night? Yeah, and then, like, Dude Bogues joined us, and Scotty, and went to another goddamn Tahiti Tonga fucking place. I don't know why, the valley's just lousy with these things. And then we went to that, what's that called, the Idle Hour over there by Lankershim. It's like the 5 points in freaking Gangs of New York. It's all these streets come together. And I guess it's a really old place, and they just reopened it. It looks like a giant fucking beer keg, or like an old, like a rum barrel on its side, like the building. It's this giant, because like back in the day, you look at old LA from like the 20s and 30s, and they had so many crazy, like the Brown Derby was a giant hat you went into, and they had all these really cool, like fucking something themed bars, like, and buildings. Like, they had that bar, if you remember Aviator, that Scorsese movie, where they're, what's his name's in it? Oh, he's great, too. They need a fucking Errol Flynn biopic. What's it? Jude Law plays Errol Flynn, and they get in that fight, and he's sitting, they're all sitting around talking about planes or some shit, and there's, like, fake snow. Like, that was a real place. They really did that. It would just fake snow would come down all night. It's fucked up. Yeah, they had some real goddamn swinging joints back then. Now, of course, the Brown Derby is a fucking Chase Bank. It's a Chase Bank. Any history, dude. They would turn the Hollywood sign into a Walgreens if they paid them enough money. They don't give a shit. There's just like no like fucking love for any historical. They don't give a fuck. They'll plow right over it. Pay paradise. Put up a parking lot. As the song says. So I don't know. I guess it wasn't a super eventful Saturday night. We drank. We're merry. We were, you know, had fun. And the next day. I worked out fucking Saturday, right? I fucking woke up Sunday morning. I'm starving. Fucking starving. I didn't get too... I got, like, drunk. I didn't get, you know, totally shithoused. I spread my drinks out. But I was, like, I was hungry. I needed a fucking meal, man. So I'm like, I want a goddamn breakfast burrito. Now, my favorite place to get the breakfast burrito down the street, this place, Diego's. I don't know what's going on. Like, they don't... Now they're closed Sundays again. They were open Sundays for a while. Now they're not. They don't answer the phone in the morning. So I gotta go to this place. It's fucking Tom's over there. It's right by Circus Liquor, that famous Circus Liquor with the big clown, and in North Hollywood. And they have a drive-through too. And I'm like, I don't feel good on my fucking car, so I go to get a fucking breakfast burrito. And I get home. Now I have complained about this many times. It's fiendishly simple what I want here: a breakfast burrito, bacon, egg, and cheese only, because they want to put potatoes and all this shit in there. No. Bacon, egg, and cheese, not too much bacon. Sounds pretty fucking easy, don't it? It is not. It's not easy. No one can ever fucking do it right. Oh, did I miss my... I didn't miss the fucking freeway entrance, did I? Jesus Christ, I'm not under the 405 yet. I'm at the fucking 10 over. Oh my God, this traffic's bad. Jesus. Oh my God. So, and this place is pretty, I've been to this fucking Tom's. It's like a greasy spoon place, but it's got a little drive-thru. There's a bunch of these in the valley. They're actually kind of cool. They're great for breakfast, generally. And they usually kind of have their shit together. And I never gotten a breakfast burrito from there. And I get fucking home. This thing, I mean, like, you couldn't even see the fucking egg. It was like all, it was like a fucking pound and a half of bacon with some egg on it. And then I get to the bottom of this thing. And it's fucking, there's a picture, I put a picture of this on my Flickr, Live from the 405 Podcast Flickr. Look at this fucking thing. I get to the bottom of it, and there's like a fucking half pound of like raw cheese. Like they shoved all the fucking cheese in like the bottom of the burrito, or when they rolled it up, it all went in one fucking spot down in the bottom in this giant pocket. And it's like raw fucking grated cheese. It wasn't even fucking cooked. And the whole bottom thing is cheese. I'm like, what the fuck is this? What is this? Like, how does this happen? Like, you actually fucking rolled this up and sold it, and you said, this, you sent it out like that? It was fucking insane. I just fucking took it and smashed it on my coffee table. I'm like, fuck! So I ate, like, maybe half of this fucking burrito. I was so fucking pissed. I was still hungry. For Christ's sakes. Why is it so fucking hard to get a breakfast burrito here? Why? I don't understand. Also, why, as I'm becoming more and more of a Starbucks drinker, because, like I said, I can just drink it. It's only black coffee I can drink. And if I don't get that, then I put a fucking half pound of sugar in my shit. What can we fucking make a couplet that doesn't leak? Why does it leak coffee all over me? I sip it and fuck, it dribbles all over me. We fucking put a man on the moon. We can't have a fucking coffee cup fucking lid that doesn't fucking drip all over my goddamn shirt and shorts every time. And I take it off. I wipe the fucking lid. I wipe the thing. I'm like, maybe some coffee got on the rim and rolled around inside under the lid, and it's now dribbling out, causing a fucking synthetic rainstorm in my fucking car. I was bitching about today, and Tree Man's like, well, you know what it is, man? The part where you sip might be lined right up with the seam of the cup. So it makes a little air vacuum in there. So try turning the lid, which, this is the thing. Okay, good, makes sense. And that worked. Now, I don't know if this is coincidence, because I'd already cleaned the fucking cap twice, taken it off and put it back on, and it still dripped. So unless by some fucking mathematical miracle, it just so happened, without me knowing this previous, that both times it just happened to land on that fucking seam of the cup is pretty insane. I don't know. Whatever happened, maybe Tom's fucking text was just magic, but it stopped doing it after that. But I'm like, I already had fucking coffee all over me. I got to work and my boss is like, well, what happened? Did you get a fucking chick pissed off? And she threw fucking coffee in your face. You fucking piece of shit faggot. This is my thirstiest episode of all time. What the fuck is that noise? There's like a... Oh, is it an Armenian talking? Armenians love to talk on their fucking phone and jack the conversation through their car speakers so that at full volume. I don't know what the fuck it is. It's something in their culture. But I hear it all the time. So after that horrendous breakfast burrito, I ended up going over to Scotty's house. You know, it seemed like a lot happened this week, but now that I'm telling these stories, nothing really, like, things happened, but nothing particularly, not only did anything particularly interesting happen, I'm not able to divine anything funny or any other parallel conversations that would be entertaining to people, so I hope that I'm not completely eating shit on this episode. I can't tell. I usually can't tell until I listen back, but I just realize now that I'm just, this is like my weekly diary entry, and there's nothing fucking funny in it, so... I hope that's not happening, because who the fuck wants to listen to that? What am I, a fucking teenage girl? Don't answer that. I went over to Scotty's. Me, Scotty, and fucking Tree Man hung around by this goddamn pool, and no, there's nothing there. There's no story. Oh, yeah, okay, no, I'm sorry. This leads into something else. So overall, I had a great weekend. It was fun. I had a good time. Drank, was fucking cavorted, you know, chilled out, and I'm driving home, and I'm getting gas, and when I go to leave, I see this puff of smoke come out from under my hood. I'm like, what the fuck was that? And I was like, oh, god damn it, it was my new light bulb. So I bought a light bulb. This thing was like a couple weeks ago. It was like $30. And now you'd think, here we go again with how fun life is. You think you buy a light bulb, and you just would take the fucking socket thing out of the actual electrical cord that fits into the housing in the front where the globe is, you'd think that the actual light bulb part would just pop out, and you just pop another one in. Nah, No. No, why would that happen? Why would it be that easy? I get this thing and it's like there's this little plastic tab. It's the right light bulb and everything. I took the fucking one out of my car into the store and it was the same fucking lamp and volt, everything. It looked just like it. But there's one little plastic fucking piece that's like not lining up. This thing is the size of like a fucking zit. And it's like, it's keeping me from fucking getting it all the way in this goddamn housing where it goes into the fucking lamp. And I'm like, I swear to God, this is like a fucking 15-minute endeavor. And I got a little fucking screwdriver. I'm at work doing this. And I'm trying to pry this piece out so I can get it to fucking fit. And it's missing by like a 16th of a fucking inch. I'm like, God damn it. I'm fucking like cutting my finger and shit. It was a fucking debacle. I'm like, why is this so hard? Why doesn't it just... What is this piece even on here for that's stopping it from clicking in all the way? So I fucking finally get it in. I don't know what the fuck happened. I guess it somehow bounced out of the fucking big globe area where it sits in. And it's fucking burned and like a smoke came out. I'm like, shit. So this leads me to this week in damage. Somehow, in one fucking, like 9 days, $30 on now another. So that's going to be $60 on fucking headlights. I lost my fucking MP3 player, my little MP3 player somehow in the fucking park. That was another $100. I just woke up the next day and was just not around anywhere. I'm like, where the fuck, what happened to this goddamn thing? That happened. I'm at the fucking gym 2 days ago. I get out, some motherfucker clipped the whole front end of my car. Left a big scrape along the driver's side right around the corner. It caught my license plate. And it rolled it up like the top of a sardine can. I had to unroll the plate. So now there's a huge scratch. There's a hole, actual hole right in the body. Some black paint. If I had to guess, you know, I'm not Inspector Clouseau. I would say it was a black car. You know, I wish there was some kind of security camera. Again, like we talked about earlier, these are the days you wish the Punisher, you know, was real. Fucked up my car. Lost my sunglasses at Scott. And then to top everything off, I get home. What was it, Monday night? Roommate's gone. Both of the fucking doors of my kitchen under my bathroom sink are open. And my fucking bottle of Drano is gone. I just bought it like 5 days ago. I had a half bottle of Drano left. So I text him. I'm like, was somebody in my fucking bathroom today? Because my cupboard's open and my Drano's gone. He's like, no, doggy. So I don't know what happened. Apparently, keep your eyes out in Valley Village. There's a Drano thief. So if you see a fellow walking around with a half full red jug of liquid plumber, call the fucking cops, hide your kids, hide your wife, they're stealing Drano out here. So I'm just like, okay, from now on, we're locking the motherfucking door. I guess somebody walked in here and took my fucking Drano. I don't know. I don't know. You know, these things happen. I've heard of robberies, heard people coming and taking, you know, jewelry, in expensive things, nice silverware, your checkbook, any cash laying around. But I never heard of somebody stealing Drano. I mean, you just go to the store, buy it. I don't know what the fuck's going on there. And I'm just like, holy shit, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, come fucking cursed this week. Cursed. This podcast sucks. You know, I'm supposed to go out with the punk rock chick tonight. I'm going to, supposed to go hang out and then probably have sex after. Now I'm starting to worry about the chick because she's getting real fucking attached. I think she thinks she's like my girlfriend. And, I'll put the old kibosh on that because I'm doing that with her tonight. I'm going to see Jimmy with the slob tomorrow. And then Friday I'm supposed to hang out with this other broad that I met who, like, she's not like a big, she's not a big fat fucking piece of shit. But, like, she's not a supermodel. But, like, I don't know. I'm not, like, expecting anything romantic. But I don't know. She's really cool. I like her. She's a real fucking smart ass. And just my kind of chick. She's a real kind of a bitch. And she's fun to talk to. So I'm like, fucking hang out. We've been shooting shit for like a week and a half. So we'll see, A, if that happens, and B, how that goes. But, and then I hit up Argus on Facebook. And I'm like, hey, man, it's me. Just checking in and let me know when your schedule opens. He's like, all right, can't wait. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably, I forgot to add that. That's probably the end of that, like everything else. It'll probably never happen. But I tried. I'll keep bugging the old bastard. But hopefully, I really think that'd be a good interview. I'm dying to hear her. Because I just love that you can, I love reading about that shit, and it's so, when the fuck do you actually get a chance to meet somebody from the fucking story, you know? That's pretty fucking cool, like a primary source, and actually get it, from them and shit. But yeah, but I'm trying to get over to the park, because I haven't fucking ran in, what, a week and a half? I'm gonna go running, and I'm gonna go home and fucking eat. Stick my prick in this little fucking asshole, you know what I mean? I did last night. What are we at here? Alright, 48 minutes. Jesus Christ, man. I just got on the 405. That was seriously like maybe 6 miles. Not even 6 miles of fucking freeway. 45 fucking minutes that just took. Oh my god. I did open mic again. My favorite place. I haven't been there in over a month. West Side over there in Santa Monica. And like, I don't know. Lots changed since I started doing stand-up. Number one, in this place, for some reason, more than most other mics that I'm aware of. I don't know. Maybe just because I haven't been to a lot of mics lately. But West Side seems to have an overwhelming amount of fucking comics that, very cocky comics that suck, that are open micers that are new, but have way too much confidence. I think Louis C.K. said this too, and it totally makes sense. I feel worse for comics that have no stage fright and are completely confident right off the bat, because they have nothing, like they have nothing to lose, and they think they're good already because they can fucking perform, but their jokes suck, and they have so much confidence that they don't know that they fucking stink. And it just went every fucking time this one dude goes up and he does it. He's not even like a bad, he seems like a fucking nice guy. But every time, like, here we go. And he just has these, he won't have any jokes. He'll just try and fucking just riff, but he doesn't have any, like, ability at it, much like I don't right now in this podcast, so why the fuck are you listening? You should be punching your wife in the face. And he just goes up and he's like, so what else is going on with me, guys? And just this kind of shit. Just, like, trying to do this, like, stream of consciousness thing. But it's like, dude, you've been at this 4 months, and you stink. Like, you're not at this level yet. Why don't you fucking write some jokes? But then he'll go on his fucking, some awful, just shitty, like, I don't know, social observation, big. Really? Yeah, nothing on that, guys? All right, hot crowd here tonight. And then no one will laugh at that. And it's just like, no, it's not us. It's you. You suck. We're not laughing at you because you stink, asshole. How do you don't realize that fucking joke? That wasn't even a fucking joke. I don't know what that was. You can get up and fucking read a Chinese restaurant menu. We're not going to laugh at it, you fucking cunt. And then like two more fucking guys did that. I don't know. It just seemed like an overwhelming amount of people at that particular place. It was fucking aggravating the shit out of me. Like, I swear to you, I wanted to just yell, shut the fuck up, you know? But I didn't. It really, one of the biggest things that I notice is bothering me, I don't know, it's just this weird, like, when you take these really long gaps and you don't do it for a long time, you come back and it's usually generally the same people still around. But, like, I don't know, I just notice shit, I guess, when you step away from a little bit that you didn't notice before, and it's like, for like a little while, especially at Westside, it's my favorite place. I had the most friends or friendly connections with people from there, but it was like I was kind of friends with a bunch of people, and then, like, not anymore. Like, I would be cool with somebody for like a fucking month or two, and then they would just kind of stop talking. We'd see each other around and be like, you know, maybe a fucking hi or a nod. And it's just like what happened? I thought we were friends. Like, isn't it supposed to, like, are we supposed to become more and more friends until we're friends and we hang out and shit? Like, I would love that. Like, I don't have any fucking comic friends. No one likes me. No one talks to me. And I'm like, I'm generally not. I'm kind of weird socially as it is, but like I'm fucking easy to get along. I make weird first impressions on. Most people fucking hate me when they first meet me because I come off like a douchebag, or maybe I even am a douchebag and don't realize it. I don't know what it is. I've always had a very weirdly off-putting thing until people get to know me, and then they're like, oh yeah, when I first met you, I thought you were a total fucking douchebag. And I'm like, why? Why? What the fuck is it about? What do I do? Do I walk around with a scowl and I don't know? Do I have resting bitch face? I don't know what it is. I've always had that. So it's like, I feel like that's kicking in now. But see, I need friends. I need more friends, single friends that are around, because everyone I fucking know is married and no one's around to do shit or do anything fun, like going, fuck. Not even that. I just need more people around. Because like my core of friends are always busy doing shit. Especially on the fucking weekends. And I'm like, god damn it. The good thing for me, evening all this out though, is that I'm just getting old and I don't give a shit anymore. I'm just kind of like, well, fine, I'll just fucking sit in the house and watch goddamn Better Call Saul. But it used to be way worse. But anyways, it fucking bugs me. I don't have any like friends, and I don't know why it's so hard for me to make like comedic acquaintances. And it feels like everyone else in the whole fucking scene are all friends, but like me somehow, and they all know who the fuck I am. I don't know. It's annoying. But and the other, besides me being naturally just kind of not super forthcoming with people to make friends, like,
it usually just kind of happens by hook or by crook, but I'm not like, hey, I'm Luke, and like, it should, I'm not really like that to begin with, I guess, so that makes it rougher, but like, I think it also has something to do with before I go up, that I'm like nervous before the show, like a little bit. No matter what, you're still in that pre, I just mentioned it, the professionals, Argus Hamilton and Bill Burr, they, you know, they're like, that's, there's something about before, I don't know, you're just in a weird headspace before you go up. I think that has a lot to do with it, too. Because once you get off stage, you feel like a fucking different person. You're just like, you feel so different. I don't know how to, I don't know how to explain it. You're just in a totally different, it feels like you weigh 5 pounds less. Like, you could feel a perceptible change in the weight of your body. That's what it feels like, I swear to God. It's fucking unbelievable. Whether you did good or bad. If you did good, even more so. Feel like you're fucking walking on air. But, I got this bit, now this is the second time I've done it. And I realized, this is the first fucking bit I've ever written, and I've written a fucking ton. I mean, I've written a shitload of jokes I never even said. I mean, I've read, what, in 2 fucking years? I mean, I usually write a whole, like, four minutes at a time. You put us all together, I've probably written 2 hours of fucking material, no shit. And maybe 8 minutes of it was good. But fucking, I try to stay away, I learned pretty fast on. And this is a tip for any of you young and coming comics, up and coming brand new guys. Don't write long bits until for a long time, until you get good. Write short stuff. Write quick short stuff, quick stuff, stuff you can remember, stuff that gets to the punchline quick. You don't want to, you're not a storytelling comic, you know, you're not Louis C.K. Everybody wants to be like Louis and just go on these long rants and stories and details, and they forget to get punchlines. You got to have so many LPMs, you know, per joke. Laughs per minute, that's an industry term that I made up. But you can't have long-winded fucking stories. I mean, they might seem fucking quirky to you, and they're probably funny on paper, but, like, it just doesn't work generally until you get, I mean, you know, there's guys that get good at it, but it takes a lot of work, so you're better off with shorter shit. And I always want to write, there's some bits that I have that are long that I want to fucking, that I want to tell that are like a story. And just, not that this long and short one was like 3 quick paragraphs, but it's the first one I ever fucking wrote that when I wrote it down, it was, like most of these kind of bits, it was funny in my head, but then wouldn't work on stage. And I would be like, if I could say this exactly like I'm thinking it and I'm writing it, it would probably be funny, but I won't be able to hit all those fucking beats, and I almost never can. This is the first one I ever fucking wrote that it's kind of a long joke that works from fucking pretty much start to finish, and Even the best part for me is that it's like a story, and there's a couple of fucking there's a couple of short stretches where there's no jokes or punchlines, but like just the way I had this, I did this totally by accident, by the way. I'm not like, I wasn't this fucking grand scheme, but just the way it's written out and the way I tell it, it's like I'm fucking telling a story at a campfire. It has a, like, that kind of feel, and I have the entire fucking room's attention. I just noticed that I have every goddamn, I totally like have the room. And there's like no panic. It's like, oh my God, this is awesome. Everyone's fucking listening to this. I mean, this only happened twice, but it was the same effect both times where people were just totally fucking locked in. I'm like, I fucking got them. So like when I get to the fucking turn, it's going to get a laugh. And it fucking worked twice. And I'm like, oh my God, this is fucking awesome. I can't believe I wrote this long thing. And it's working for like the first time ever. There was a long way to go to say basically that. I probably should have just spit that out because I'm a long-winded fucking jerk off cunt. Oh my God, I'm hungry around this fucking park with no fucking water tonight because I'm a thirsty guy. Why are you so thirsty? That's the best bit I wrote. I didn't think it was going to work because it was emblematic of many other things that I hadn't written, but it does, and I'm kind of fascinated by it. So I had a pretty good, I probably should have fucking, I was like the 4th or 5th guy up. The room was pretty packed, and it did all right. I did a new... Oh, yeah, and then they fuck. People are still... I've been telling this joke for a long time, and I always did pretty good. It involves rape, and any fucking joke with anything even tangentially rape involved gets... You could just feel the fucking air get sucked out of the room. The minute you say the word rape, the whole place is like, ooh, it's fucking crazy. I'm like, holy shit, fucking L.A. I don't know. At this point, it's probably like that everywhere. There's this goddamn fucking PC pussy culture we live in. Vote Trump, make America great again. But yeah, it's a joke about how, do I look rapey, and why are women always terrified of me in like parking, even like dark parking lots, even if it's a big, giant, you know, busy, like, Target, if I'm kind of away from the other cars, women are fucking terrified. Like, they walk all fast and there's shit falling on their grocery bags and shit. And I'm trying to think non-rapey thoughts. And people are just like, I think I, like, audibly heard somebody go, oh. Like, fuck. I was just like, Jesus Christ, a fucking joke. But I don't know, that one's always done pretty good. But now it's like, I guess I'll have to pay attention more. Whatever. How long are we on here about my fucking stupid artistic process? One of my fucking Richard Pryor gives a shit. Not even that fucking funny. Oh yeah, I realized last night I was so calm. I felt great. Like I felt like I'm just talking right now. I was like just talking to a bunch of people and like I'm like, how did I get this far? Like I was terrified for like a year straight. Every time I went up, my fucking heart was in my throat. I couldn't talk. I couldn't breathe right. My voice went up 2 fucking octaves. I was terrified. And I'm so comfy. I can sit and tell a story and feel totally fine. I'm like, well, how am I not going at this guns blazing now? I got over the really hard part. Now it's like you work on the actual mechanics and the craft of it. Like, how am I not going up every night? If I'm able to, I went through all that and I'm just not going at it. It's this constant goddamn internal fucking civil war in my head about doing it. I said, for like a week, I was like, it's cool. You know what? This ain't for me. I'm going to stop doing stand-up. I'm not going to sit and beat myself up. I've quit things in my life. I quit acting and I felt fine. It just felt right. I'm like, I am not good at this. I'm not cut out for fucking acting. I stink. I know what you're saying, Luke, you stink at most things you try. Why don't you quit? And particularly, you should probably quit podcasting. Hey, you too, character. Everyone going to fuck with me tonight in the whole car? Jesus Christ. But, yeah, I've quit other things and felt fine, but for some fucking reason, every time I fucking quit stand-up, it still nags at me. I'm like, every night, I'm like, every fucking day. It was funny, because I saw this chick, what's her name? I've never seen her stand-up, but her Facebook is so funny. I don't know how I ended up with her. What's her name? Jessa Reed, R-E-E-D, she's from like fucking Pittsburgh or some shit. I don't know how I came across her, but her Facebook is hilarious. I love her, because she just makes fun of her kids and shit, but it's actually funny, and she's like a real bitch. It's like a real rotten sense of humor. And she's like, I think she wrote something like, every single day at 1 o'clock, I tell myself I'm going to do a mic. And then by like 8 o'clock, like, then I get home or something like that. And I was like, oh my God, I was like so happy to see somebody else go through that. It's about every fucking day at like noon, I'm checking my fucking, the Comedy Bureau listing for all the mics. I'm like, oh cool, I'm definitely going to hit this one. And then I work and then work out. Sit in traffic for fucking 90 minutes. And then by the time I get home, it's like I have Walking Dead fucking reruns to watch. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm not going to make that fucking mic, you know, by the time I take a shower and everything. It's fucking hard. If I had a job that was more, whatever. Fuck going into the whole dynamics of it. But I should be doing it more. And I'm not going to hate myself for it. That's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. What makes a man's ass? What are we at here? Okay, we're at an hour. Whoa, I almost fucking hit that guy. Jesus Christ. Stop reading and driving, fuckface. I was watching the 70s on Netflix. I think CNN put it out. I've talked about it before. I got done with the 60s, now I'm watching the 70s. It's like, it breaks down the whole decade. I think it's like 8 episodes. It's fucking great. I love, just more as I get older, just more and more of a history, especially contemporary history. I love that shit, man. But, the 70s, man, there was an episode about cults and serial killers. And there really was a lot. That was like the heyday of serial killers. What was there? Fucking Son of Sam. There was, what's his name? The big one, the really bad one. What's that guy's name? Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was around. John Wayne Gacy. I think there might have been a couple of them. I mean, just those are fucking three of the goddamn, the Mount Rushmore of serial killers. Those guys would be on there. And then they had a whole part about Jonestown, Jim Jones, who had that mass suicide. And they started this church in San Francisco, and they all moved to, like, Guyana over there by, where? I don't know where the fuck Guyana is. Was it by Philippines? I don't know. But he moved and started this giant compound and brought all these people over. And then when, I don't know. Well, I read a whole shitload of stuff about it. I seriously went down this fucking Jonestown rabbit hole, and I was reading about it for, like, 3 goddamn hours one night after I watched this thing. Because just the footage of it, I mean, they get there and there's 940 people in this mass suicide. They said it was the biggest loss of civilian life in one day in a non-wartime period besides 9/11 in fucking history. It was the most people that just fucking died. And I mean, it's just this fucking ocean of bodies around this, like, bunker. It's fucking insane. And this whole fucking... And there's, like, footage of tons of this shit. When they moved over there, people started either escaping or writing letters back saying, like, shit's going bad over here. This guy's fucking nuts. He wants to kill all of us. And people are getting fucking beat. Like, there's, like, beatings if you mess up any of his fucking crazy rules. And, like, we think he's a paranoid schizophrenic and that we all really fucked up and we're stuck here. Some of them were, like, legit crazy and followed him anyways. They were just, like, whatever, this dude's God. So whatever he says, you know, he was, like, infallible, this kind of shit. So this senator came over with a fucking ABC News crew. What the fuck is his name? Oh, what was the senator's name? I forget his name. It was, you know, a senator for California to investigate. And he's there for like 2 days. And when he first got there, they had this whole ceremony for him and things were going good. And then slowly, as time was going by, people were starting to pass him notes like, get me the fuck out of here. Like, this guy's crazy. Like, help us. We're stuck here and shit. And then when he started confronting Jim Jones about it, he was like, no one's saying that. They're fucking, you know, they're crazy. Don't listen to them or something. So things started getting... I think he knew it was bad, so he wanted to get out of there. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to go back now. And they're like, let's get the fuck out of here. So he wanted to take 14, I guess 14 people wanted to leave with him. And somehow or another, I don't know if Jim Jones allowed them to go or if he pulled some senator shit and said that these are American citizens, I'm taking them with me. Some dude tried to fucking stab the senator, so they got the fuck out of there. And then when they got to the plane to take off, this Jeep pulls up of Jim Jones guys and just open fire on fucking and just shoots them all. Shot the fucking news crew, shot the senator dead. One lady survived, but they shot her fucking like 5 times and she lived somehow. So she's telling all these fucking crazy stories about it. And she survived, obviously. But yeah, there's fucking audio of him giving the final thing and making everybody drink the Kool-Aid and die. Like, dude, there was like fucking 50 kids or something like that. 50, 60 kids. There's dead kids everywhere. And most of them were fucking, most of his followers were like disenfranchised black people. Because he was actually like, like leading up to his cult, he was like beloved. Like, I mean, people were like, this guy's kind of culty. But like at the same time, he was, I mean, this is going on in the 50s and 60s. And he was like way into like desegregating and like fighting for like black rights and shit. And like it was like one of the only racially integrated churches in the country. And he was like a good guy, Al Sharpton, but like a white guy. And he actually went and like marched for like legit, you know, racial abuse, not like this fucking asshole Al Sharpton, fucking race baiting cunt. But you know, he'd legitimately march and help people and started social programs, all this shit. So they're like, oh, this fucking guy's he's a little kooky, but he's got his shit together. And then it led up to this. And I guess he had like he got really bad at drugs. He was a bad pill popper. That's why he's always wearing those dark glasses. Because it said the barbiturates that he took made his eyes really sensitive to light. So he's always got these creepy-ass dark glasses on. But this lady said, like, I read this whole survivor account, or this whole one of the ladies that escaped. And she realized as soon as she got there, she made a huge mistake. And she's like, I got to get the fuck out of here. And a lot of the witness testimony is like, you probably think we're fucking nuts for following this guy. And you're like, how would anybody? But he was so charismatic. And it wasn't preaching any crazy shit, really, like that he was God or any of this kind of stuff. It was just like, we're going to make this, like, utopia together. We're going to start... He was way into, like, communism and shit like this. He wanted to have everybody... come on, buddy. What the fuck are you doing? He wanted everybody, like, working together and, like, escape, you know, fascist America and all this kind of shit. So that's where they thought they were going. They're going to start, like, a new fucking city. Like, basically, like, a big hippie commune. But things got ugly real fast. And then she said he would tell people that, like... He had word that, like, American troops were going to come and, like, kill them and, like, kill their babies and all this kind of shit. And he would stage these elaborate, like, fake, they would shoot into the jungle and shit. And she said that they were either fucking blanks, and they would shoot, like, he would, like, hire fucking locals to come in and pretend they were, like, CIA agents and shoot them with rubber bullets in front of people and be like, oh, look, we got one. But, like, they wouldn't be, she would find out later, like, they wouldn't be dead, or she would see them or something like that. Like, it was this big elaborate fucking thing, but she caught them, you know, fucking up. And she's like, oh, I gotta go. I don't know. It was really, man, that guy was fucking nuts, and all his people died. It's really... You got these pictures of the body. Why do I go and look through this shit? And they're just like... All the fucking bodies are just like bloated, and people are just... They just look like fucking Walking Dead zombies littered around. And there's fucking shitty 70s clothes and bell-bottoms. But I don't know. Read about Jonestown? I don't know what the... I don't know how I'm supposed to cinch that one up. Oh, yeah, just in the 70s, we're like, Jesus Christ, with the fucking cults in this show. That was a fucking, that's a pretty nutty time, man. I guess it's always a nutty time, but, you know, because now we have theater shootings. And these. I don't know, what's worse, a serial killer that kills a good, I mean, I don't know, Ted Bundy killed fucking, they think, somewhere around 40 people. But at least, I don't know, he killed them one at a time. They were spread out. And sometimes years went by. Is it better to have that go on? Or better to have one just walk in and do it all at once and shoot up a fucking whole big group of people together? I don't know. Which one's scarier? They both suck. I think that's it. This is another weird episode, man. I don't know what's going on. This is the thirstiest episode in Life from the 405 history. I mean, drank three quarters of this freaking smart
water.
What the fuck is this? How many liters is it? 33.8 fluid ounces. I've drank most of those. I don't know if I have anything else to talk about. I think Gigi's going to be pissed at this one because there's a lot of freaking sipping and extraneous noise. Again, I apologize. I'm in a car. That's the gimmick of the show. I'm in a car, so sometimes you have to put up with things that are unexpected. Sounds you don't want to be infiltrated into your show, but they do. Maybe that's the charm of it, you know? It's unpolished. It's unpolished. What do you want, fucking NPR or something?
Here it is again, yet it stings like the first time. Seems it never ends. Double nickels on your dime. I thought we were friends. I guess it just depends who you ask. These feelings tend to leave me with a hole.